Good morning. Good to see everyone here this morning. You'll turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 12. We'll continue our study in that book. Last week we looked at part of Romans 12, verse 2. This week we'll hopefully finish the verse. Why don't we stand again in honor of God's Word? If you'll follow along with me in Scripture, we'll start with verse 1, Romans chapter 12. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your word. Thank you for your love, your provisions, your care, and the freedoms that we enjoy. Father, thank you that we can be here together to worship you, to praise you, to study your word together. And Father, we commit this time to you. Pray that your Spirit will convict us of our sins, will teach us and grow us, Father, so that we can be more like Christ. We thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. In our text, in verse 2 of chapter 12, there's a, as we said last week, there's a don't be, a do be, and a so that. And last week, we looked at the don't be, the do not be, the do not be conformed to the world. We tried to look at just what that is, what that means, what does that look like in practical terms. We even looked at some pictures, didn't we? You remember the pictures? We have a picture we can show these folks to remind them? Stick figures. When you look like the world, you might be conformed to the world. If you walk like the world, quack like the world, you might be conformed to the world. Any other pictures? Do not be conformed to the world. This week we're looking at the do be. We see in our text in verse 2, but. What does but mean? It's contrast. But, in contrast to being conformed to the world, in contrast to walking, acting, looking like, quacking like the world, in contrast to being conformed to the world. But do what? But be what? What does the text say? Be transformed. Be transformed. Is that what being transformed looks like? Not really. I mean, I understand that. I understand that if you look like the world, you might be conformed to the world. And if you don't look like the world, you might not be conformed to the world. That didn't help me with the practical terms of what does it mean to be transformed. To be transformed. In practical terms, what would transformation look like? Do we have a picture of what transformation might look like? Is that it? I don't know. These things are a little beyond me. It's a cool-looking car. Camaro, I think. And that used to be a toy. I think it's a superhero now. Is that what it means? That's what it looks like to be transformed? Some of the kids would love that to be true, but I don't think so. In fact, that's more of a picture of being rearranged. That's just a rearrangement. That's not a transformation, is it? The Greek word here in our text, transformed, is metamorpho. Metamorpho. Guess what English word we get from that Greek word? Metamorphosis. Metamorphosis. To change from within. What does that look like? What does a true metamorphosis look like? A transformation, a change from within. What might that look like? Do we have a picture? Of course. It's that thing the little caterpillar does in order to change into a butterfly. Metamorphosis, a change from within. A change from a little worm-like creature that crawls along in the ground, in the dirt. A change from within happens and emerges a beautiful butterfly, free from crawling to flying. A metamorphosis. That's metamorphosis. That's a true transforming. Changed hearts make what? Changed lives. Metamorphosized hearts make metamorphosized lives. Completely changed, spiritually transformed. So how is this done? How is the spiritual transformation accomplished? How do we be transformed like the caterpillar is transformed into a butterfly? Let's look at Scripture. What does our text say? And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of your mind. Did you know the world wants control of your mind? Do you hear me? So marketing is a multi-billion dollar industry. They want you to think you need what they have. They want control of your mind. They want you to think you need to buy something. They want you to think you need to watch something, to listen to something, to go somewhere. The world wants control of your mind. They spend a lot of money and time and energy to get control of your mind. The world wants you to change from outside in. God wants us to change from the inside out. You with me? God wants you to change from the inside out. God wants your mind. He wants our minds. He wants all of our minds. That's the whole part of the living and holy sacrifice, the spiritual service of worship from verse 1. He wants not only our lifestyles, he wants our minds. Giving over to him sacrificially our minds. That's right. Our mind over to God. Sounds a bit like brainwashing, doesn't it? Pastor Chip, that sounds a little wacky. Sounds like brainwashing to me. It is. Our minds are filthy. Our minds need to be washed. Our minds need to go through the wash, the rinse, the dry, every laundry cycle there is. Our mind needs to go through it. Or to be renewed, refreshed, it needs to be washed. And God's word is the soap. If we're going to be renewed by our minds, then we need to know God's word. We need to be washed. We cannot be renewed. We cannot renew our minds unless our minds are saturated with God's word. Do you hear that? Our minds are saturated in God's word. Then and only then can God's Holy Spirit mold us, shape us, transform us, renew us. Practically, what does that mean? To be renewed by our minds, the renewing of our minds. What does that look like? What does that mean? It means spending time in God's Word, reading God's Word, memorizing it, studying it. You haven't, this is not foreign, you've heard this before. We're going to be transformed. We're going to renew our minds. We have to saturate it with God's Word. In reality, it means practically, it's have quiet time. It's spend time with God every day. Why do we call it a quiet time? It's time that we set aside, that we block off to be quiet, to set all the distractions of the world away so we can focus on God and His Word. We can talk to God. We can pray. We can listen to God. We can read His very words. We can saturate our mind. We can wash our mind. We can renew our minds during a quiet time. A devotion. Do you have a devotion? You're taking 30 minutes a day and spending it with God. Pretty pointed. This is the application part of Romans, remember? You know what we call a devotion? Is we're devoting time to God. Take 30 minutes a day. In the morning. Set it aside. And get renewed. Wash your brains. Wash your minds. Devoted time to God. You will not grow spiritually without it. It's just the way it is. I would do you a disservice if I didn't tell you that bluntly. You will not grow spiritually without devoting time on a daily basis for God. Spend time in prayer with God. Spend time reading God's Word. Have a quiet time. Have a devotion. Be devoted. You know the secret to a quiet time? You know the secret of getting up 30 minutes earlier every day? I mean, I know your life's busy. This generation is busier than any other generation ever. We have more distractions than any other generation ever. You have more things and pressures pulling and tugging on you, more burdens to deal with than ever. But I'll tell you, you know what the secret of getting up 30 minutes early is? Going to bed 30 minutes early. It ain't rocket science, is it? Turn off the TV. Put the book down. Put the kids to bed. And go to bed 30 minutes early. That takes commitment, devotion. It takes a deliberate action. You cannot renew your mind without saturating it in God's Word. A renewed mind is a mind washed with truth, the very words of God Almighty. A mind set on God. A mind set on pleasing Him at all costs. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Turn with me there. A few books over to the right. We can learn a little bit more about what that means. Our personal daily goal is to please God. That's how we don't be conformed to the world, is by pleasing God. That's how we do be transformed, by pleasing God. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God, not the world. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk, let's behave, let's live, and walk in love just as Christ, just as imitate Christ, not the world, not your buddies at school or work, unless they are imitating God. They're walking, behaving just as Christ. And walk in love just as Christ also loved you and gave Himself up. And gave Himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Sounds a bit like spiritual service of worship, true biblical worship, the giving up the sacrificing over. Verse 3, but immorality or in any, let me back up, but immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among those real conservative, freaky kind of Christians. Is that what the scripture says? Those real, you know, tight, legalistic kind of Christians. Is that what the text says? Not what my Bible says. Let's read it again. But immorality or any impurity or greed, i.e. sin, must not even be named among you as is proper among saints, Christians, true, born again believers in Jesus Christ. Well, that is not conforming to the world. Verse 4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Remember the picture of the chameleon from last week? When we act like the world, we're acting like chameleons, changing our behavior to fit into the environment. We're going to live like chameleons, or we're going to stand out as Christians. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Conformed or transformed? That's the question. Verse 5, for this you know with certainty that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, why can Paul write that? Because true born-again believers don't do that kind of stuff. Maybe false converts do, or pagans do. Verse 6, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Who are we? The sons of disobedience, the sons of obedience, children of God. And here we go, verse 7 is where I wanted to get to. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Don't conform to the world. For you were formerly darkness. For you were formerly darkness. Not formerly in darkness, you were formerly darkness. But now, you are what? Light. Light in the Lord. Sounds like a metamorphosis, transformation. You were formerly dark, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk, behave, act like children of light. Verse 9, for the fruit, what's fruit? Not just something good to eat. Fruit, the results, the byproducts. For the fruit of the light, that which the light produces, consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Is this a clear picture for you? Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Give your mind to God. Verse 10, we're not done. Trying to learn. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. That's the goal part. That's the pursuit part, the effort part, the trying. Chip, man, we're not perfect. Pastor, I can't be perfect. We're not perfect. We still struggle with the sin nature. But we're commanded to be holy as God is holy. We're commanded. You know, in verse 1 and 2 of chapter 12 of Romans, these are imperatives. Passive imperatives. They're commands, not suggestions. Do not be conformed. Be transformed. Trying, the pursuit of righteousness, sinning less and obeying more. That's the process. Man, I can't be holy this whole month, but maybe I can be holy for a week. Good grief. Maybe I can be holy for a day. Well, I know me. Maybe I can be holy for an hour. Okay, a minute or two. Short little spurts of pleasing God. The process of sinning less and obeying more. As we grow in Christ, as we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, as God's Spirit works in us, as we saturate our brains with His truth, we grow and we learn to please Him more and more. A renewed mind pleases God. It seeks to please God. It plans to please God. It desires to please God. A renewed mind determines to please God. When you face decisions, we always ask, does it please God? It's a good filter, remember? What about verse 11 of Ephesians 5? Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but do what? Just when you thought it couldn't get more heavy for you this morning. What does this text say? And I'm just reading God's word, people. Verse 11. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness. Do not conform to the world. Do not even have those sins named among you, which is proper for you church-going Christians. None of us. But instead, even expose them. Light exposes darkness. That's right. Light makes things visible. We are not to be conformed to the world. We're not to participate in that stuff. But we're to expose it. That's being light. What do we think light's supposed to be? You ever been in a totally dark room? Turn on a light. What happens to the darkness? What happens to the darkness? Where does the darkness go? It's gone. Light exposes it. Man, when I was studying to be an electrical engineer, I had 3 semesters of physics. I actually had the pleasure of taking physics 3 twice. That's the way things go. We talked about Einstein. Einstein did a lot of studying in light. Light waves don't travel like sound waves, mechanical waves. You know, as sound waves travel, they travel like waves through water, or mechanical waves. And the wavelengths, as they vary, the sound varies, the tone varies. Same way with light, but light travels in energy bursts called photons. And the photometric or the photon wavelengths, as they differ, that's what changes the color in things. When I look at an object, I am seeing the light reflected off that object based on the wavelengths. Because light makes things visible. And we're to be light in the world. Man, when it says do not be conformed to the world, it doesn't say let's go dig a tunnel somewhere. Everybody hit the caves. Let's go hide out, stick our head in the sand. No, it says engage society as light. Be different for all the right reasons in all the right ways. Your coworkers, your friends, they should know you're different, that you're light, that you're not like this darkness. They should see the light. You should point them to Christ simply by example. Now we know that doesn't stop there. We have to verbalize things. We have to share our faith verbally as well. But our lifestyle should be characterized by light. You know what that means. I mean, sometimes we just can't go hanging out with the same old people. Sometimes we can't go hanging out at the same old places. Sometimes we got to turn the TV off. Sometimes we have to sacrifice and skip the movie. It means giving up things to live as light. It means don't spend it if you don't have it. In reality, sometimes it means don't spend it even if you do have it. Don't say it, even if you think it's funny. It means speaking up when no one else will. That's light. It means taking a stand, speaking the truth. It means pleasing God at all costs. Being transformed by the renewing of our minds. Pleasing God at all costs. Even if you're misunderstood, even if no one understands you, if it means being left out, having no friends, even if it means not closing the deal, making the sale, getting the promotion, pleasing God at all cost. Back to Romans chapter 12. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why? There's those two little words, so that. Mean reason. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that. Why saturate our brains, our minds, in God's word? So that you may prove what the will of God is. It doesn't say so that you may know what the will of God is, does it? The Greek word there means test, to discern what the will of God is. What is the will of God? It's a big question. Is it God's will that I should murder? Taking of an innocent human life? Is that God's will? Of course not. How do you know? How do you know that's not God's will? How can you prove it? How can you test it? How can you be confident that that's not God's will to murder? Well, if you read Exodus 20:13, you know. God specifically says, do not murder. I'm saturating my brain in God's word. I'm studying, I'm memorizing, I'm reading God's word, and I can find out what God's will is and what his will is not by his word. I can read, do not murder. I know, do not murder. As I know God's word, I know his will, and I can have confidence in it. And when I know his word and I have confidence in his word and I have confidence what his will is and is not, then I can do it. And that sounds like a process of growth. It is. Metamorphosis. Caterpillar doesn't turn into a butterfly overnight, does it? It's not instantaneous. It takes time in the cocoon, doesn't it? You ever thought about what the caterpillar's doing in the cocoon all that time? Dark, cold, lonely cocoon. You ever feel that way as a believer sometimes? At times in my life, I've been in situations or environments. Seems a little dark, cold, and lonely. Life gets a little rough. Our goal is to daily please God. Our goal is to spend time with God in his word, so that we can have renewed minds, so we can be transformed, so we can know what the will of God is, so we can prove what the will of God is. Look at our text. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. the will of God, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Well, good and perfect, I can understand. Acceptable, what does that mean? Is God's will accepted by himself? In verse 1, we saw that a spiritual service of worship, that kind of worship, that biblical worship, was acceptable by God. Here, it's not acceptable by God. It's for us. Acceptable for us. God's will for us, which is good for us, which is acceptable for us, which is perfect for us. You want to know what God's will is? Know his word. You want to know what God's plans are? Know his word. You want to know his purpose? Know his word. God's word. A renewed mind is a transformed life. A transformed life is a life of the mind set on pleasing God. Metamorpho. It's only used two other times in Scripture. Here, it's used in Matthew 17:2 to talk about Jesus in the Transfiguration. When he went up on a mountain and took three of his disciples, Peter, James, and John, and there was a transfiguration, a metamorphosis, metamorpho that happened as he revealed the glory within. The other place, the third place, this same Greek word used in Scripture is 2 Corinthians 3:18. Let's look at that as we close. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 8. Verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3:18, but we, talking to believers, we all, with unveiled face, referring to Moses and his veiled face, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed, metamorphosized. We are being, it's an ongoing process. Doesn't happen overnight. We are being transformed into what? The same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. We are being transformed into the image of Christ. As we renew our minds, as we wash them with Scripture, we no longer desire to be conformed to the world, but instead, we're being conformed to the image of Christ. We're being metamorphosized, molded, shaped, transformed into Jesus. Maybe a better picture for us is this last picture I have. Maybe that's what transformation looks like. It's a process. Let us make it our goal this week to please God, to know his will, his word, and to live spiritually transformed. Let's pray.